Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Praise God. All right. Now, I failed to mention that make sure you check in online. And, of course, make sure you send the message out. We always appreciate you being digital evangelists and spreading the word with others. Now, this was a big one, in my opinion, as we're starting a new series entitled The Power of Praise, Power of Thanksgiving, Praise, and Worship. The Power of Thanksgiving, Praise, and Worship. And so we're in the Thanksgiving season, and we're going to talk today about the subtitle. Today's sermon is Thanksgiving Victory. Thanksgiving Victory. Everybody say Thanksgiving Victory. All right, so we're going to see the connection between victory and our Thanksgiving. And 1 Corinthians 15:57. And guys, make sure my volume's good online. If you could, please just give me a thumbs up. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's all say that together. Ready? Read. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Thanks be to God who always leads us into triumph in Christ. Now notice both verses have thanksgiving. But they're connected to something. The first verse we read is we're connected. Thanksgiving was connected to God who gives us the victory. And then the next verse is thanksgiving to God who always leads us or causes us, in one another translation, to triumph in Christ. So it's connected to triumph. Thanksgiving, we see in these two powerful verses, are connected to victory. Everybody say victory. And triumphed. See, the inference and the implication is that you not just thank God or thanksgiving after the victory has been manifest or after the triumph, but also before. Now, I want to refresh some of your memories and remind some of you that we need to be thanking God before and after the manifestation of our victory or our triumph. I would say it this way right up front, that sometimes the victory or triumph is prolonged or delayed because we are not giving thanks before. See, there's power and much untapped power in thanksgiving. See, all of us, through many, 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 many scriptures that we don't have time enough to quote and read, through the scriptures, as you see it in the word, that we're supposed to be addicted thanksgivers. Some people are addicted to different things, but I believe Christians should be addicted to thanksgiving. It's a part and an integral part of our sacrifice of praise. It is the initial part and password into God's presence. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Some of us don't have a password because we just like we misplaced a password to an app or a website and say, I forgot my password. I think because of circumstances of life and sometimes the condition of our culture, many people have forgotten the password. And it's just thank you. It's thank you, Lord. Come on, everybody say thank you, Lord. So is your tank full by being thankful? Now, I'll say this again later on, but there's no place and not really any space between being thankful or unthankful. Because sometimes we assume I'll just be neutral. I won't go negative. I'll just be neutral. I'll just be silent. But we're supposed to be thankful. And you can't show God just silent gratitude. He said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Break it apart. Giving thanks. Through your own, from your own heart, through your own lips. So there's potential and a pathway of increasing our capacity to receive. I remember one of our instructors once said, Pastor Keith Moore, he's pastoring now, powerful ministry in Sarasota, Florida, and Branson, Missouri. Thank you, just done. Appreciate it. and the Lord told him when we were at Rhema, and he told us in school, he said the Lord told him, he said, did you know, he told him by his first name, Keith, do you want to know how to increase your capacity to receive from me? Now, that question is still relevant and real to us today. You just insert your first name. Do you want to know how to increase your capacity to receive from God? What was the answer to him? Immediately, God didn't hold out on me. He said, cultivate a lifestyle of thanksgiving. Cultivate a lifestyle of thanksgiving. Let's look at Psalms 100, verse 4 again. Enter into his gates with what? Thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. So we see the first progression or the first step in the pathway to God's presence and increasing our capacity to receive is what? Thanksgiving. Everybody say thanksgiving. It said, be thankful. Now, I'm putting emphasis on it. Be thankful. Now, next week, we're going to talk about living thankful. So we're going to expand on a little bit more, but I'm just introducing it to you today as we take communion, because sometimes we can look back in October and September and August and realize, man, I've really been ungrateful. If I'm offering up more complaints than thanks, then Houston, there is a problem. He said, be thankful to him. Not mad at him. Not unthankful towards him. Be thankful to him and do what? Bless his name. So thanksgiving is the password. So tell somebody next to you, say, did you know thanksgiving is the password? First Chronicles 16:34. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Oh, my goodness. This is not, oh, gotta give thanks to the Lord. This is an expression of, oh, give thanks to the Lord. For he is good and his mercy endureth forever. Praise God. Come on, lift your hands and thank God right now. Give thanks to the Lord. He's good. Now, the rub or the challenge, ladies and gentlemen, is when situations aren't good, we're tempted to be unthankful. We're tempted to miss the opportunity where the scripture says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory. So we're thinking at that moment, because of that circumstance, that I'm the victim. Somebody done me wrong. Something has gone wrong. And we're not thinking victory. We're thinking victim. We got the V glasses on. And they're not victory glasses. We want everybody to know, I got a problem. Here is my pain. I want to tell you about it. So you can live in pity with me as the same. Anyway, I'm not. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. That's a good reason to give thanks to the Lord every day. See, when you're just thinking thank for, and when you're for, put whatever for back there. If the for is you got messed up stuff going on in your life, you got jacked up stuff going on in your house, you got drama and trauma going on in your life, you won't thank him for. But this is a good reason to thank him for he is good. My situation may not be good, but he is good. So I'm giving thanks to the Lord. I thank you that you are good. You could be going through H-E-double-L and high water, but you're still supposed to give him thanks, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Somebody say glory to God. Your mercies are new every morning. See, daily you need his goodness. But see, the blessing and triumph of him coming in and doing good and being good in your life is limited because you refuse to give thanks. Hallelujah. So you don't just thank God when things are just going well. You don't just get religious around Thanksgiving holidays. Just everybody say something they're thankful for. And everybody just says, well, I'm thankful for my family. And you should be thankful for a lot of stuff all the time. A lot of stuff all the time, every single day. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So you don't just give thanks when things are going well, but you thank him because he's good. Look at Psalms 107, verse 8. Oh, that men would give thanks. It's like heaven's begging us. Oh, that men would give thanks. Because God wants us to increase our capacity to receive from him. He said, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Now, if we keep our eyes in the news, the noise, and the narrative of our day, then we're going to get distorted optics. We're going to get disturbing thoughts in our minds because we don't think everything's bad. The whole world stinks. We got Limburger cheese smudged all over our upper lip. We think that everything stinks now. He said, oh, that men would what? Give thanks to the Lord for his what? His goodness. He's ready to give good every day. The Bible says in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from God, the Father of lights, in whom's no variable, no shifting shadow or shadow of turning. Praise God for his wonderful works to the children of men. See, this is another good opportunity to open the door for the Lord's goodness and for his wonderful works to move and manifest and gain momentum in our lives every day. Now, when do you need to be praising and thanking God? All the time. And particularly when things aren't good. We ought to kick in our addiction. We're an addicted Thanksgiver. Okay, here we go. I'm going to take a Thanksgiving break here. And so go in the bathroom. If you're at work or wherever, or go in the bathroom. You start giving thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're so good. Thank you that your mercies endure forever. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning, and great is your faithfulness. Thank you because of your mercy I'm not consumed, because your compassions fail not. Come on now. Thank you, Father God, that you load us daily with your benefits. That I'm not going a day without your benefits. You've already provided and promised them those benefits. So I thank you for them, Lord, that you forgive all of my iniquities. You heal all my diseases. You redeem my life from destructions. You crown me with loving kindness and tender mercies. You fill my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. I'm strong and overcoming and soaring. Come on now. If you are for me, you are for me. Thank you, Lord, that you're for me. And who can be against me? You know, be a good addict. Now, I know some of that a little strange hitting your mind, a little strange, but you need to be a good addict, a Thanksgiving addict, a praise-aholic, not an alcoholic, a praise-aholic. Because the world's going to make you sour. The wickedness that the devil hurls at you on a regular will make you sour and make you sullen and make you walk around with sorrow and shame, and then you won't even open your mouth and give thanks that God gave you breath to breathe. Come on now. He gave you arms to move and hands to move. Come on. He gave you a job to get paid in. Come on now. He gave you resources to be able to be a blessing to your family and be a blessing to the things of God. Praise God. See, thanksgiving and being thankful increases your capacity to receive. I remember one time, again, talking about a mighty man of God. I was talking to Pastor Mark Hankins, and he needed a certain ministry tool, and the man of God stuck a fork in his face, sitting eating dinner after a service, a meeting. And he said, the Lord's been trying to get you that ministry tool for 5 years, but you have not been able to receive it. Shook him up in a good way, gave him a good love tap. Think about us. What has the Lord been trying to get to us that we've not been able to receive it? Maybe it's our healing. Maybe it's our financial breakthrough. Maybe it's a family miracle that's maybe needed. See, God, the Lord is good. He's good all the time. And all the time is every day is a new day in Christ. Come on now, there's possibility and potential for all of God's goodness to get showered on you. But are you able to receive it? Come on now. Just in the natural, we know how we feel when we give something to our kids, grandkids, and they go, What does your heart do? Come on, y'all talk real to me. Come on now. You're not like, wait a minute now. They can't receive. They're ungrateful. They're unthankful. And think about that correlate that with our Heavenly Father. When we become unthankful, ungrateful, and He's trying to get stuff to us, and we're walking around struggling, stressing, and He said, they can't receive it. If you watch the video on the prayer thing, that we sent out the link, the five rules of a prayer for a successful prayer life, five rules of success for prayer, and by Kenneth E. Hagin. He talked about walking in a room with a pastor, 37 years old, 37 years young, not old, young, good man of God, Assembly of God preacher, but he was full of cancer. Aggressive, stage 4, giving up to die. He's in the hospital. Brother Hagin goes in and visits him. And Jesus walks in the room because he had been interceding for him. Jesus walks in the room, and the guy's right there. He said, Jesus is here to heal you. The guy jumped out of bed. Now, he couldn't do that in a natural sense because he was so sick and so emaciated and destroyed through cancer. And he's laying in the bed. He gets up out of bed and runs over to where Jesus is at. Now, he didn't see Jesus. Brother Hagin saw Jesus. And Brother Hagin, Jesus is right there, ready to heal him. And he walks right up to Jesus, real close, almost like this, and says, no, I can't do it. He said, what do you mean? He said, what for? He went back. He said, he's there. He's right there to heal you. He ran up to Jesus, almost touched him face to face. He's right here, isn't he? Yeah, he said, yes, he is, right there to hear you. And Jesus was there in that hospital room because that guy had more work to do for the kingdom and for the Lord, just like we do. But he went up to Jesus almost face to face, touched him, and he said, I can't do it. What increases our capacity to receive from God? Thanksgiving. But what does the enemy do? His assignment is to make you unthankful, ungrateful, grumble, complain, criticize, run off at the mouth, and get you fussing and sometimes cussing about your pain, your problem, the pressure you're under, your predicament you're in, and then next thing you know, you close off and shut down your capacity to receive from God. Somebody once said, I think it's Jim Rome once said it, once you start complaining, you basically sign a poverty statement because your money starts running out. We often said, I didn't originate the statement, but I repeat it a lot. If you complain, you'll remain. But if you praise, you'll raise. And praise starts with thanksgiving. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Somebody say hallelujah. See, thanksgiving, again, is being thankful will increase your capacity to receive, not just the opposite. And just the opposite, being unthankful, ungrateful, will decrease your capacity to receive from the Lord his goodness, his wonderful works, his victory, his triumph, and his blessings. Now, the lack of thanksgiving and being unthankful is a limiting factor. Let's turn to Psalm 78, Psalm 78, verse 40 through 43. Psalm 78, verse 40 through 43. It said, how often they provoked him in the wilderness. Now, how many of you know the wilderness, hard times, can provoke you one way or the other? Me and Brother Greg were talking about that sometimes we can get provoked to want to say something. Well, sometimes it's good to learn the vocabulary of what? Silence. But it provoked that they, how often they provoked him in the wilderness, and they grieved him in the desert. Verse 41, yes, again and again, they tempted God. And, look at this, limited the Holy One of Israel. And they did not remember his power. The day he redeemed them from the enemy, when he worked his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan. So the children of Israel provoke God and grieve God. Unfortunately, we can do the same today as children of God. What provoked and grieved the Lord? Well, their constant complaining and murmuring about their current conditions and circumstances. What will do it for us today? The same thing. The constant complaining and murmuring. They forgot Egypt. Egypt is a type of deliverance. They ignored and despised the purpose of the wilderness. Now, and the wilderness is a type of development. Now, people don't like wilderness, because your faith has to get developed. Your faith gets uncomfortable. The first sign that you're in faith is that you're uncomfortable. But people in America particularly like comfort. Let something happen to the air conditioner, complaints are starting to come out. Hallelujah. Let something happen to our cash flow, guess what? Get uncomfortable. Let something happen to our physical body with a doctor's report, a negative diagnosis, we get uncomfortable. But many people like comfort. And just like the children of Israel did in Egypt, they wanted to go back to comfort. Even though they were in bondage, God said, you forgot what I did for you, bringing you out of Egypt with 10 signs of deliverance. And then you don't want to get developed, so people don't want to grow their faith and develop in faith. And God stretches your faith sometimes to where you're going, Lord, please. Now, if you hadn't been there, you hadn't been there yet. Because your faith is like, Lord, please leave me alone. Let me just stay relaxed for a little bit. And that's what they were doing in their tents. In their houses, they were complaining, why we got to still believe God? Because some people want to just work their natural life to secure everything in their life and control everything in their life so they don't have to have any more pain. Pain is the classroom of leadership and followership in Christ. We always say in the gym or in the football, when I played football years ago. No pain, no what? But most people don't like pain. They don't like the wilderness. We like to beat our chest after the year and say, wait, man, yeah, look at how much I gave last year. Look at what I did last year. And God says, just let's do more. Let's take it up a level. I remember when he told us, they said, well, praise God, we got the 30% giving. We're 30% givers, tithe, offerings, extra. But he said, take it up another notch. Because Mark Hankins put his hand in our feet. Increase more. Don't just stop. Some people stop believing God. I'm good. I get everything taken care of. I'm settled. No, God will want you to believe God for other people. There's always development going on. So you should always be uncomfortable and unsettled in your faith progress. The promised land was their destiny. So they dishonored and obeyed instructions for getting to the promised land. God said, go through the wilderness. They said, no, it's a 3-day journey. He said, go through the wilderness. You got to go through development before you get to the destiny. But some people want the destiny and not the development. And so their rebellion, their disobedience, and being ungrateful and thankful caused them to limit God. Guess what it will cause us to do today? To limit God. Get in there, get the doctor. Get in front of the doctor, and they say, you got this. You got to deal with this. They slide a prescription over you, and then, you just accept it without hesitation or reservation. But not knowing, you put a limitation on God. When he said, no, you hadn't talked to him yet, and he said, wait a minute, I want you to trust me to believe for you to get off this and get rid of this diagnosis. Now, that will make you uncomfortable, but most people are comfortable sitting in their doctor's lap. Yes, sir, whatever you want to tell me, whatever you want to direct me, whatever you want to do with me, and they won't use their faith. They just want to use what they're familiar with, which is going to the doctor and putting their health and their trust in his hands or her hands. Don't shout me down. I'm preaching real good right now. Hallelujah. So we can limit God's will and his work in our lives and forfeit our development and destiny in our lives by being unthankful. Now, there's two things that are tied and connected to communion about thankfulness and thanksgiving. Number one is, you can write this down. Number one is remembering. Everybody say remembering. And valuing. Number two is valuing. Everybody say valuing. So when you give thanks, you're remembering and valuing. What did they do in the wilderness? He said they forgot. Again, they tempted God. And they forgot. They did not remember his power. They didn't remember his power. What do we do at the communion table? We remember Jesus and the covenant he made to provide, to protect, to heal. Come on now, to save. He's mighty to save. We remember that we got a covenant with God. We got a covenant with God that Jesus did it all for us. I remember his broken body. We remember his shed blood. We remember the blood of our new covenant, our better covenant, established upon better promises. But the children of Israel, they forgot who he is, who God was, who he is. They forgot what he did for them. In Egypt, 10 times he showed them his power, and they forgot. They forgot the last time he answered their prayer. They forgot the last miracle he did in their lives. They forgot what God did for them and what he was doing for them and what he had promised them. They also didn't value and honor the opportunity to grow and develop in their faith. You know, one of the most miserable people on the planet are disgruntled and disenchanted Christians. Because they don't want to be stretched and they don't want to be dealt with in their faith. Leave me alone. Let me be. But the Bible teaches us that there's no such thing as unchallenged faith. If you're going to live by faith, you're going to get challenged. But we always start off the challenge from the position of victory. Not in a contest for victory. It's always from victory, never for victory. And so we always start off by saying, thanks be to God who always gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what the deal is, well, no matter what the diagnosis is, thanks be to God who always gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we got to value the opportunity. We don't start crying and getting in shame and sorrow. We said this is another opportunity for God to get the glory through his word and through his will on my behalf. This is another opportunity to prove God's words true in my life. Come on now. This is another opportunity for my faith to grow and develop in this situation. This is another opportunity, come on now, for God to get magnified and glorified through the exercise of my faith and trust in him. We got to value the honor and opportunity to grow and develop in our faith and the opportunity and privilege to serve and submit to God's plan. Because of being uncomfortable includes surrendering to your plan, but submitting to his plan. And when we take communion, he said, remember me. That means we submit to his plan. It's like a eternal life policy that we get reestablished and reinstated. We say, Lord, I'm yours to command and control. I surrender all. And I thank you for it. See, this place of being unthankful, limiting God's work, and through him, they didn't remember and value their assignment or alignment with the Lord and caused them to complain and remain in the wilderness and eventually die there. As we look at the communion table, we must remember and value who the Lord is, what he's done, what he's doing for us. We remember also and value those in the body with us. You know, unthankfulness is one of the big signs of perilous times. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, it says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. They're very self-centered and self-absorbed. But lovers of money, we see a lot of that. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Look at right what's in the middle. Unthankful and unholy. I heard this one time, and I still believe it. I said, Lord, why is that there? He said to me, And this is how he said it to me. He said, being unthankful is equal to being unholy. Being unthankful is to be equal to equally be, is equal and bigger in God's eyes than being unholy. So some people want to be, you know, pious and religious, but they're never giving thanks. They never say thank you to people or to God. Because some people think I deserve this. I'm entitled to this. That can be problematic. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 17 in the Amplified Classic tells us a story about 10 lepers and the healing of the 10 lepers. And so in this account, I'm going to read an Amplified Classic version. It says, and he went in verse 11, Luke 17, 11, read down to verse 19. It says, and he went on his way to Jerusalem and occurred that Jesus was passing along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into one village, there met him ten. He was met by 10 lepers, which stood at a distance. Now, by law, they were supposed to be quarantined, and we would call it social distancing today. But they had to be physically distanced and quarantined because they were lepers. It was called an incurable condition. And so they saw him at a distance. And they raised their voices, all of them did, and called, Jesus, Master, take pity and have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go at once and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cured and made clean. Everybody say, thank God, Jesus is a healer. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. Amen? So he's a healer. He can cure you and cleanse you from whatever's going on with you that's corrupting your body. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. And then verse 15. And then one of them, now there were 10, but it says one of them, upon seeing that he was cured, turned back, recognizing and thanking and praising God with a loud voice. And he fell prostrate at Jesus' feet. What was he doing? Thanking him over and over and over. And he was a Samaritan. He wasn't even a covenant guy. And when Jesus asked, and then Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? What's the answer to that? Yes. Where are the 9? You can almost imply they were unthankful. They just wanted to get theirs and get going. And then verse 18. Was there not one found to return and to recognize and give thanks and praise God except this alien? Now, Jesus wasn't really using a bad word on him. He's just not a covenant guy. He's a Samaritan. And then he said to him, go, get up and go your way. Your faith, everybody say your faith, your trust and confidence that spring from your belief in God has restored your health. Praise God. Isn't that good? See, why was there only one leper returning to the Lord being thankful and appreciative? Because like today, too few Christians recognize, remember, and value what the Lord has done for them. Even in the minor and things in life or the miraculous things in their lives. So they get up in the morning and, you know, I'm just playing through here. Just go along with me. So they mumble. Then intermittently grumble. Gripe. And next thing you know, it's 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Next thing you know, it's 9 o'clock at night, and not one thanks. Not one thanks. Not one thanks. And then you close off your capacity to receive from God. And yes, the struggle is real, and perhaps the struggle remains because of the grumble, grumble, grumble. Mumble, mumble, mumble. Murmuring. And on God's end, limiting. And he said to that one, your faith. He considered his act and activity of thanksgiving as his faith. Your faith has made you whole. Now, when Kenneth E. Hagin was on the bed of sickness, when he was a teenage boy, 17 years old, partial paralysis, couldn't move his legs from his waist down, incurable heart disease, three blood disorders or blood diseases. He had a deformed heart, excuse me. He had three incurable blood diseases, and he had a deformed heart, a heart that didn't beat work right and beat off. And he would pass out and faint and stuff. His heart was so weak. At 17 years old, the Holy Spirit told him on Mark 11:24, he said, if you believe you received that you your healing, if you believe that you receive your healing, you would thank me for it. You would thank me for it. So without anybody teaching him, at 17 years old, he lifted both hands and began to thank him. I thank you, Lord, that I believe I received my healing of my deformed heart. I have a good heart. I believe I received my healing for my three incurable blood diseases. I believe I received my healing for my partial paralysis. And in case I forgot anything, Lord, I believe I received my healing from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Praise God. He said, once he said thank you and gave thanks, then the power came. Are you keeping the power back? Because your thanksgiving is slack. See, too many Christians won't offer the sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord because they're caught up and consumed with their own pain, their own problem, and not his promises or his provision. Hebrews 13:15 says, through him let us therefore constantly, at all times, offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of his lips, that thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify his name. See, it's a sacrifice when you have to faith it instead of feel it. We know it when a little 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old is ungrateful and thankful because they're not feeling you right now. They don't want to say thank you or I appreciate you. But we shouldn't act like 3 or 4-year-olds to God and become what we call praise misers. Or we take away giving of thanks and we give complaints. Smith Wigglesworth said this. I'm getting ready to close in a few minutes. He said this. Somebody asked him at 85 years old. That's the summer, actually. They're both in heaven. And he asked him, Smith Wigglesworth was apostle of faith. He had raised, medically recorded, 16 people from the dead. Some say as many as 23. I mean, he walked into a funeral home one time and threw a guy against the wall. He says he's too young to die. And everybody's in there weeping and crying and mourning. He walks in with a spirit of faith and pulls that guy out of the casket and throws him up against the wall and says, come forth, Lazarus. Come forth, call his name. And then threw him up again. He slumped down again. Everybody's going, oh, what's he doing? And he threw him up against again, and he threw it up a third time. And the third time he threw him up against the wall, that corpse became a living being again. And he started dancing and shouting and turned the funeral into a revival. Somebody said, glory to God. But this is Mr. Wigglesworth. And he said, what is it? 85 years old, no sickness, no disease, no issues. That got a glow about him, always full of joy. He said, what do you do? How do you maintain that joy? He said, I get up in the morning. And he said, first thing I do, I don't ask Smith, that's his first name, Smith, how he feels. I tell him. And then it said, then I give God a 10 to 12 minute high speed dance. The first thing he said, I thank him and praise him for the privilege and the opportunity to be a part of his family. Now, that's a way to get up in the morning, to start the day off. Somebody said one of the secrets of Thanksgiving is you got to start the morning off. The morning off with 10 things at least that you thank God for. Now, some people are so mad and messed up and miserable that they don't want to give thanks. I want to let God know I'm mad at him. Well, you need to repent. You need to get right. You need to judge yourself at the communion table. But I think Joyce Myers is the one who said it. You start off every morning 10 things. Before you think about, talk about anything else, thank God at least 10 things. And you'll set your day for success. And open yourself up to receive from God. But Smith Wigglesworth gave 10 to 12 minutes. And he said, thank you, Lord, that I'm your very own child. You're my very own father. Thank you, Father God, for the privilege to be a part of your kingdom. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of being a part of your family, to be a part of your master plan, to be a part of what you're doing in the earth. Thank you, Father. He's just saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. And now, at the same time, he's dancing. He's jumping around. He's jumping around his bedroom, 85 years old, jumping. Somebody say, come on, lift your hands and thank God right now. Praise God. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. Why? Because you're not just thanking him for. You're thanking him before. Before you start your day. Before you get into work. Before you face that crisis. You're thanking him before. Even if your car breaks down on the side of the road, don't bash your steering wheel and say, oh my God. You get out and thank God with the hood up and the smoke coming up from your engine. Thank you, Lord, that you always cause me to triumph in Christ. Come on now. James said, count it all joy. Air conditioning breakdown, you just count it all joy. Yeah, open the windows. Let the outside cool air come in. It's cooler now, right? It's not June anymore. Somebody say glory to God. Now, you see how practical this can be? You thanking him not just for, because sometimes we have some rough days and maybe some rough weeks. And you say, well, I ain't got nothing to thank God for. I'm just very unhappy right now. Well, you can get real happy just by thinking about God and thinking about Jesus and thinking about what the Lord has done. Thank you that you redeemed me by your blood. Thank you, Father God, that your blood never fails. Thank you that you're too faithful to fail, Father. Thank you that I have a covenant with God. And you thank it before the manifestation of victory, that God's going to give you victory in this situation right now. Thank you. Thank God that he's going to cause you to triumph in Christ. Before there's triumph, even you can't even see triumph. You're thanking him before. Isn't that good? And at the table, we thank him for his body, for his blood. Amen. And we thank him for his literal body. Your body was broken, this sort of mind didn't have to be broken. I don't have to take and keep this for the rest of my life. Thank you, Father God, that by your stripes, we are healed. Even when you're sitting down eating your dinner or eating your lunch, thank you that by the stripes you're healed. The victory of healing may not be fully manifested yet, but you're thanking him for the victory. That by his stripes, I was healed. And if I was healed, then I am healed. Thank you, Jesus. You're thanking him before and for. Did y'all get something out of that today? He said, examine yourself. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Now I want you to bring home two more points. Two points I told you earlier. there's no place between thankful, let's just say this side is thankful, or being unthankful. There's no in-between place. You're either thankful or unthankful. So how do I check, Pastor? Well, look at your tank. Look at your last week. How much did you give thanks? See, sometimes we get self-absorbed sometimes, and I've been there, so I'm not anywhere touting perfection. But I've been there. I've been disgruntled, disenchanted, driving into work, mumbling and grumbling. And things started to stumbling. Amen.